of, oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Better late than never, right? Anyway, here we are. And welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network and on the Eternity Ready Radio Network. So we thank God for that. We're also on YouTube, the YouTube we're also on our website, propheticnews.com. So we have those things available for you. And my book, don't forget my book now. My book is called Seed Faith. Can a man bribe God? Can we bribe God? Do you think that we can give God money to get him to do things for us? No, I don't think so. We don't have to. We can pray freely. He has given us all things. And the other subtitle is How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So, of course, we see that there is the September 23rd that they can't stop talking about. They can't stop talking about. I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what's going to happen. Probably nothing. Just another day in the life, amen. But many people would have you to believe that maybe Jesus is coming back today, and among other foolish things that people are saying, you can't believe the things that some people come up with. They spend too much time, really, they spend too much time on things that don't mean anything when we can look at a scripture that talks about taking away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, the gospel is simple, and why people have to refer to Virgo and Jupiter and constellations and this and that. Look, we live our life every day. We take life as it comes every day, right? We go about our day. We try to do the best that we can. And just to get through the day. So nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. And so why do these people try to look at stars, look at constellations, and then they want to make these predictions that somehow, some way, they can try to figure out when Jesus is coming back? They don't really know. They don't really know themselves. So if the Bible says no man knows except my Father, which is in heaven, then how do they know? How do they know? But it sells books, I guess. I guess it sells books, maybe. And so that's why they do it. And they also try to convince you that they may know something you don't. Because this one guy, and I'm going to play some audio from this ridiculous person who calls himself a pastor, Jimmy Evans, who claimed that there was a prophecy given in the year 1200 to a man named Judah ben Samuel. And Judah ben Samuel, he says, the prophet Elijah appeared to him. Oh, really? Well, We're not supposed to be talking to spirits. So where did he get this stuff from? Obviously, it didn't come from Jesus. And Jesus says here in Matthew 24, starting at verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, we see that happening, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So we don't have to be afraid. Also verse 23 says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Oh, we see that happening. Yeah, we see that happening. We see people getting deceived really left and right. People are getting deceived, and now they're trying to tell you that astrology is of God. Really? I don't think so. And when I play some of this audio from this guy, Jimmy Evans, you're not going to believe what you hear. You won't believe what you will hear. I didn't believe it myself. But anyway, here in verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father know only. So, Jimmy Evans, you don't know. John Hagee, you don't know. Sid Roth, you don't know. Marcus and Joni Lamb, you don't know. Perry Stone, especially you don't know. No, you don't know. And don't try to figure it out. Don't waste your time trying to figure it out, because you don't know. And you're never going to know. I don't care. Constellation, Virgo, Jupiter, whatever. You aren't going to know. So, I mean, God can't lie. He can't lie. He says, no man's going to know. No, not even the angels in heaven know. So why, you know, tear out your hair and spend hours? This guy, he claims, this Jimmy Evans, he claims that he spent 30 or 40 years studying Bible prophecy. You spent too much time. You spent too much time studying Bible prophecy. It made you loony. It made you loony because you came out with a statement, and you'll hear it from his mouth yourself. And he's sitting there with Joni and Marcus Lamb, two con artists themselves. And he's sitting there in Israel with them on a television set, which they call Christian television, but it isn't. And they and this guy is saying, he says it out of his own mouth, that this Judah ben Samuel in the year 1215, the prophet Elijah, I think he said Elijah, appeared to him. I don't want any dead people appearing to me. No, thank you. No, I don't want that. None of us, we're not supposed to communicate with the dead, people that have departed this earth. We don't talk to them and expect them to talk back to us. It's ridiculous. But anyway, they go on and on and on talking about it. And Marcus and Joni, they're in there. They're awestruck by these revelations, that this guy has. But I'm going to play this clip for you so you can hear it yourself. You'll hear it yourself. And then I have a little biography that I pulled up on this guy, Judah Ben Samuel. Now, they claim that this guy heard from a dead or long departed. Who exactly was talking to Judah Ben Samuel? Who do you think was talking to him? No wonder. Anyway, I'm going to play this for you. You will hear it yourself.
He died in 1217. He had an academy where he trained many, many young Jewish scholars. He has been studied and quoted by Jewish scholars through the ages. He was called the Light of Israel. And he said that the prophet Elijah appeared to him. Now, this is a very reputable man. You can look him up on Wikipedia or whatever. Very reputable man. And he said that the prophet Elijah appeared to him and told him what was going to happen in the future. So he documented this. He left this prophecy at his death. And he said, don't open this until after I die. So he wrote this prophecy at his death in 1217. The prophecy was opened and read, and here's what it said.
And let's say this, think about it, exactly 800 years ago.
Exactly.
Because we're now at 2017.
That's very significant.
That's amazing.
That's very significant. When the Ottoman Turks conquered Jerusalem, this is his prophecy. When the Ottoman Turks conquer Jerusalem, they will rule over Jerusalem for 8 jubilees. And that's 50 years. The jubilee is 50 years. Afterwards, Jerusalem will become a no man's land for 1 jubilee, and then in the 9th jubilee, it will once again come in back into the possession of the Jewish nation, which would signify the beginning of the Messianic end time.
Wow.
So he's in the year 1217, and he's saying here, Elijah came to me, Elijah the prophet. He said, Elijah the prophet who precedes the Messiah. Remember the two witnesses now?
Yes.
Okay, that's Elijah and Enoch. And so he said, Elijah came to me and told me what was going to happen in the end. And he said, when the Ottoman Turks to conquer Jerusalem, they'll rule it for 8 jubilees. Well, the Ottoman Turks defeated the Mamluks in 1517, 300 years after his death. The Ottoman Turks overcame the Mamluks and they conquered Jerusalem and they ruled it until 1917. That is 400 years, exactly 8 jubilees.
Because the jubilee is 50.
Right.
So 8 times 50 would be 400,
right.
So exactly 400 years, just like the prophecy
exactly.
That Judah ben Samuel received from the prophet Elijah. Oh,
then,
my goodness.
Then in 1917, the League of Nations conferred the British mandate upon the mandate to rule Jerusalem to the British.
Now, I don't know if you find that disturbing. I do. I find it disturbing. I'm wondering now, how could you sit there with a straight face? Now, you're on so-called Christian Network. You have 3 people sitting there that claim to be Christians, and they're sitting there talking about this man, Judah ben Samuel, receiving a word from the dead man, Elijah. Yes. What else do they want us to believe? What else? I mean, how crazy can it get, really? Anyway, here's a little biography. He says, go and look at this man up. He's very credible. Well, this is what I found. It says that Judah was descended from an old family of Kabbalists. Now, the Kabbalah is the occult. It's the occult Kabbalah, okay? So it says that he's descended from an old family of Kabbalists. And they settled in Germany. So he it says he founded a yeshiva in Regensburg and secured many pupils. Among those who became famous were Eliezer of Worms, never heard of him, Isaac ben Moses of Vienna, and Baruch ben Samuel of Mainz. Eliezer applies to his teacher in several passages as the father of wisdom. Judah left one son, Moses Zaltman, author of a commentary on several parts of the Bible. Some that this Moses Zaltman was in reality Rabbi Moses Ben Yoel. Anyway, it says, legend describes Judah as an excellent bowman. When, however, enlightenment suddenly came upon him, he performed many miracles. Oh. But now, notice, I mean, it doesn't say he was a Christian or he was born again, but he was studying the Kabbalah. He descended from a family of people that studied the Kabbalah. So it says that he suddenly came upon him, that enlightenment came upon him, and he performed many miracles. He restored fertility to a young married woman. The prophet Elijah is said to have partaken of his Seder meal. Oh, if the the prophet Elijah came and ate with him. Yeah. And to have been seen by him in a synagogue. He miraculously prevented a Jewish child from being baptized and knew the exact year of Israel's redemption. Yeah, he knew it. Yeah. He maintained communication with the Bishop of Salzburg and acted as seer for the Duke of Regensburg. Oh, I don't think so. I mean, it sounds more like the occult, doesn't it? Here's a passage that talks about this man, Judah ben Samuel, and mysticism. The precise importance of Judah ben Samuel, it says, is difficult to determine. Side by side with the official dogmatic religion of the church or the synagogue, there has always existed a mysticism dealing with more largely and more intimately with the personal relation of the individual to God, which at times was in opposition to the religion of the synagogue. Judah's mysticism was in such a stage of opposition, he therefore undervalued the study of the halakha, whatever that is, halakha, and indulged in marked departures from the accepted religious practices, I guess. I guess he departed from the accepted religious practices. If he says that Elijah appeared to him and sat down and ate with him. Anyway, this is the guy that Marcus and Joni are sitting there with their mouths open as pastor. This guy pastors a church, Jimmy Evans, and I think he has a television program too on what they call Christian television. But they're sitting there and they're awestruck that this man in the year 1215 or whenever, he gave this word, and the word came from an apparition of the prophet Elijah. So that's pretty crazy in itself. But it kind of goes together with all this. You know, years ago, people used to write these books. Remember, people wrote books about Jesus is coming in this year and Jesus is coming in that year. And we don't really know when Jesus is coming back. Even the Bible says that. So, but they were selling books, and they're doing the same thing now. They're writing books and they're trying to figure out all how the stars go and how the constellation goes and all this. And really, you know, you can have a nervous breakdown over it because you're trying to figure out something that God says you're not going to be able to figure out. So don't waste your time. Of course, Bible prophecy is important, yes. And we go to the Word of God when we need to know. But we can't listen to these kind of people who are dabbling in the occult. Apparently, they're dabbling in the occult. That's what it sounds like to me. So I'm not going to pay it any mind. But I think I have a caller on area code 206. I'll take your call in a minute. But I want to play. Now, I can't even believe what this guy says next. So anyway, I'll let you listen for yourself here. Hear for yourself this Jimmy Evans talking. This is about a four-minute clip.
Now, in Job 38, God is coming to Job, and he's talking to Job. And he talks to Job about Pleiades, Orion, and he says, did you establish the Maseroth and its seasons? That means constellations. The word Maseroth, the 12 signs of the zodiac, come from God. They don't come from astrology. Astrology is a bad thing because astrology assigns some spiritual, ethereal spiritual force to the constellations. And if I'm a Libra, I am a Libra. If I'm a Libra, then everything in my life is controlled, and that's nonsense. My life is controlled by God.
Yes.
But the 12 constellations are a picture of salvation. I know, Joni, you did a program with Marilyn Hickey. Mm-hmm. And Marilyn Hickey was talking about this. It's called the Maseroth. The Jewish rabbis believe in the Maseroth.
Yeah.
And they believe it is a story of God. They don't understand the New Testament aspect of it. But the Maseroth, the constellations, begin with Virgo, the constellation Virgo. They end with Leo. It begins with a virgin. It ends with a lion. Okay. So this woman,
wow.
In Revelation 12, it says, I saw a woman clothed with the sun. Well, Virgo always has the sun. See, the sun goes through the 12 constellations, each constellation once a year. The moon goes through each constellation once a month. The moon travels much more quickly. So when it says, I saw a woman clothed with the sun, that's telling you it's the fall of the year because the sun is in the constellation Virgo. She was clothed with the sun. The moon was at her feet, okay? She had a garland of 12 stars on September the 23rd, which is a week from this coming Saturday. The constellation Virgo has the sun over her shoulder, literally clothed with the sun. The moon is at her feet, and the constellation Leo. Leo is outlined by 9 major stars, but next Saturday, Venus, Mercury, and Mars align with Leo to make 12 stars directly over the head of the Virgin. She will literally be crowned with 12 stars. And it says she was giving birth to a male child. Now, this is fascinating. So Jupiter is the king planet, and the Jews believe that Jupiter is the Messiah. In fact, the Bethlehem star that the Magi followed was probably a convergence of either Jupiter and Venus, which is the day star, the morning star, or Regulus, which is also royalty, which is a part of Leo. But it was a very bright star. But Jupiter, however you look at it, Jupiter is the king planet. Last November the 20th, the planet Jupiter entered into the womb area of Virgo and stayed there until September 9th, 4 days ago. 41 weeks, the exact gestation period of a human infant. So the Jupiter entered into the womb area of Virgo, went into retrograde, and just stayed. And what retrograde means is it appears as though it's standing still or not moving much when it actually is. It's just our perspective. So Jupiter goes into the womb area of Virgo, stays there for 41 weeks. It exited. She gave birth 4 days ago on September the 9th. Then it says there was a fiery red dragon there to devour the child. Okay, so I've been studying this for 3 months, and this seems it seems incredible. I want to encourage you to do something. So between Virgo's legs, the constellation Virgo's legs right now, there is a red, hideous-looking something there. So I'm a preacher. I'm talking to you, and you're saying, oh, this preacher's talking about the end times. Go on Google Sky. You'll see this now. Go on Google Sky. When you go on Google Sky, in the bottom left-hand corner, click Constellations. After you click Constellations, over on the right-hand side at the bottom, click Virgo, the constellation Virgo. Then go to the top right-hand corner and click Infrared, because it's infrared. And you will see there, between Virgo's legs, you're going to see it's blacked out. You're going
to... Now, I don't know about you, but I find that very, very, very disturbing. Very disturbing. What does that have to do with anything? Jupiter entered into Virgo, and then there was something between Virgo's legs. What are you talking about? I was stunned when I heard that, really. I was just absolutely stunned. There's so much. We'll see. We'll go through this day today, and tonight we'll go to sleep, and that'll be the end of the day. So why did these people spend hours? And you can go on the internet and you can look at all the information that's out there about today from these false prophets and these false teachers. But we'll go to sleep today. We'll go through the day like any other day. It'll be a normal day. And then we'll wake up tomorrow morning and it'll be Sunday. And that'll be it. Because they always try to make a big deal. Like they try to make a big deal out of feast days and moons. And let's look at this verse here in Amos chapter 5. Let's see what God has to say here. Amos chapter 5. Let's start at verse 21. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy violas. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chiyun, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to heavens. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. And it's kind of the same thing. This guy, Jimmy Evans, and apparently, you know, he's not getting this information from God, especially if he's quoting this guy, Judah Ben Samuel, who claims that the prophet Elijah came and ate with him. He's definitely not getting this information from God. So where did it come from? Here's another verse in Isaiah 1. I'll start reading at 13. Bring no more vain oblations, incenses, and abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, You shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So it's like enough already. This man, this poor man, really, Jimmy Evans, he went, I think there's a scripture in, isn't it Ecclesiastes? And it says, don't spend too much time with learning. I can't remember exactly how it goes. If I find it, I'll read it to you. But, you know, you can kind of lose your mind, because you see what happened to this man is he probably originally took a Bible principle that he found. It sounds like he found it in the book of Revelation. So he took that. And then he went and he started researching and he started dabbling in the occult and trying to get information from the occult. And then he tried to put a biblical spin on it. And it just doesn't work. It just doesn't mix. You can't mix God's word with Kabbalah, and you can't mix God's word with talking to dead people. And they even have, they even had some people talking, I think it was on the Sid Roth show, where somebody that supposedly went to heaven and they came back, and then they came back with a word too about this, these events that were going to happen in on September 23rd. But for me, I don't like testimonies about people dying and they go to heaven and they come back and they have to tell you things. And then they talk to dead people up there. They talk to this one and they talk to that one. And it just doesn't fit with scripture, really, to me. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. So how can you die? If the Bible says that we're going to die once, then how can you die twice or three times? Some people, they die and they come back and they die and they come back and they die and they come back. Well, either God's word is true or it's not. So I say we have to be careful about people that say they go to heaven or they go to hell and they have all these apparitions and then they're going to tell you things that are not in the Bible. And we have to base everything on the word of God, no matter who says what or who it is that's saying it. Because then we can be deceived. So we really have to be careful about who we're listening to. But anyway, I think I have a call. Let me see if this is a caller or if they're just listening. Do you have a comment? Area code 206.
Yes, miss. I just wanted to ask a question, if you don't mind, and kind of get your thought on the process. I mean, if we look at Christianity as a whole, and from the history of Christianity, from the first century to now, we see an influx in changing of the Bible in 1612 from to the King James Version in English, and after the Revelation, after the Protestant revolt of 1519, it just seems there's a huge influx in this end of the world theories and people interpreting the Bible for themselves. Now we're up to 32,000 different denominations in the United States alone, from Mormonism to Baptist to, well, let's just say all these different faiths, from the Anabaptists to the Calvinists to any form of Protestantism, and yet they don't agree. Don't you feel that there might be a problem right now with this huge split? I mean, did God really wait 1,500 years to give the proper interpretation of the Bible? Or could it just be fact that God is that good that he started up a church, the Orthodox Church, during the first century, and it exists today, and majority of people that are Christian haven't even heard of it?
Well, I mean, the church is the body of Christ. It's not a building. It's not a denomination.
Well, no, that's an interpretation that came out 1,600 years after Christ. Nobody ever thought that before Christ. And if you can find an interpretation or a writing of that, I would believe you, but there, it doesn't exist. went through six
years
of
college. Yeah, but what
does it matter? Got a master's degree.
Okay, but what does it matter? What I'm saying
well,
is this.
It matters
Jesus
because
Christ died. He died for our sins. He
yeah.
said you must be born again. So you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then we have his word. We study his word.
Uh-huh.
So really, whatever denomination you belong to, what does that matter? The only thing that really matters
okay,
is
I'll
the
show
truth.
You what it matters. Do you think Mormons are going to heaven?
Not if they're not saved.
Well, this is why it matters. Do you think that Jehovah's Witnesses are going to heaven?
Not if they're not saved.
There you go. Because yours is the one that came up with saved. And if you look at the history, this is only a 250-year-old.
I didn't come up with saved. Didn't Jesus say it in the third chapter of John? I didn't come up
okay.
with it. Jesus said you must be
no,
born again.
Jesus,
so I didn't say
John,
it. That's what he said.
No, Jesus said in John 1:3, he says, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, one has to be born again. That is an interpretation from ancient Greek which says water needs to be sprinkled over your head. Just like you came out of your womb of your mother, that's showing you that you are born again through the baptism. Through the
no,
baptism
it isn't. It has nothing to do with baptism
well,
because
miss,
Jesus Christ had to die for our sins. He didn't say you would be saved by baptism. He said he was the Savior.
Miss, so
my name
he
is
said
Susan.
That in John 1:3, was Jesus
Susan.
Dead at that time when he said it?
When he said
was
what?
Was Jesus alive or was he dead when he said it? When he said you have to be
said
born
what?
Again, was he alive or was he dead?
He was alive, but he was telling you what was going
okay,
to happen.
Okay, so those people at that time couldn't have became born again at that time, correct? See, your logic is even fuzzy. It doesn't make any sense.
What logic is fuzzy? What are you talking about? Do you belong
well,
to the Greek Orthodox Church?
No, I don't belong to the Greek Orthodox Church. I belong to the Orthodox Church. There's the Greek Orthodox Church, which is one form
So what
form
does that matter?
Orthodoxy.
What does it matter?
Well, it matters
why are you
religion,
arguing about things that don't
matter? Because
my religion
is 2,000 years old, and I come from Jesus
It doesn't
Christ.
Matter about your
and
religion.
Listen, I'm telling you, you asked me
the
why
The only thing
matters,
that matters is Jesus and his...
No.
His death on the cross.
To you, but you, what have
not
you studied?
To me.
Have you just studied it?
So
home,
what?
Or have you
tell
actually
me something.
Learned the historical? Okay, so you have your book of the Bible has seven books that have been taken out.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. What
sure.
does what does the death of Jesus Christ mean to you? What does his death mean
what do
you to
mean,
you?
What is it?
Why did he die?
Okay, I'll tell you right now. What it means to me and what it means to the Bible are two separate things. So don't try to.
I'm not asking you about the Bible right
it,
now. I'm asking
okay.
you what it means
so what
to
it means
you.
To
what
Christ
does Jesus' death mean?
I'm trying to answer.
What does that mean?
Don't get nervous when
well,
you're
talking.
Well,
tell
me.
What
I
does it mean to you? I don't want to hear about orthodoxy. I don't want to hear about the Bible right now. I want to hear
I know you
what
know, because
does the death of
point.
Jesus have. Well, I want to know what it means to you. Because I know what it means,
it means
to me.
That it proves that I'm trying to answer. Stop interrupting. It has to do with God proving that he is the controller over life and death. That's what it means to me.
So then what does that mean to you? He is the controller over life. What does that mean to you in your life?
Really, what does that mean in my life? What?
If he's the controller over life and death, then what does it mean
correct.
In your life about your death?
It means we're all going to die.
And then where
die.
Are you going? Where are you going
well,
when you
I
die?
Don't know. I don't
well, then
know.
You're not saved.
You, no, stop. No.
Their church or their denomination before the Lord. And, especially when you know when you look at certain denominations, even like Catholicism, they don't ever guarantee you that you can go to heaven. But Jesus, that's one of the things that Jesus promised us, is that he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you can be also." So if Jesus said it, then we have to believe it. And also, to many people that belong to denominations like this person did or does, and they teach you, they have certain ways that they teach you and they have certain ways that they believe. But we remember that when Jesus Christ died, he rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven in a body. So he was in a body when he ascended, and he went to heaven. He went there. So if he's there and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, then we know that we can be with him too. And I don't know why they don't get it. If they talk about Jesus, but they don't really know who he is. And that's the sad part. But anyway, we hope that he finds out who he is and that he doesn't have to cuss people out. Whew. So I'm angry. But anyway, the truth, hopefully this, you know, this man can come to know the truth and the truth will make him free. But anyway, we'll get back to our topic. I think I have one more audio here from Jimmy Evans, the brother. Well, I don't know if he's a brother really, because he's kind of messed up and he really needs help, this Jimmy Evans, but I'll play this last audio clip from Jimmy.
The Jupiter entered into the womb area of Virgo, went into retrograde, and just stayed. And what retrograde means is it appears as though it's standing still or not moving much when it actually is. It's just our perspective. So Jupiter goes into the womb area of Virgo, stays there for 41 weeks. It exited. She gave birth 4 days ago on September the 9th. Then it says there was a fiery red dragon there to devour the child. Okay, so I've been studying this for 3 months, and this seems it seems incredible. I want to encourage you to do something. So between Virgo's legs, the constellation Virgo's legs right now, there is a red, hideous-looking something there. So I'm a preacher. I'm talking to you, and you're saying, well, this preacher's talking about the end times. Go on Google Sky. You'll see this now. Go on Google Sky. When you go on Google Sky, in the bottom left-hand corner, click constellations. After you click constellations, over on the right-hand side at the bottom, click Virgo, the constellation Virgo. Then go to the top right-hand corner and click infrared, because it's infrared. And you will see there, between Virgo's legs, you're going to see it's blacked out. You're going to see a red, hideous-looking something there that you can only see part of, because NASA has redacted. NASA has made Google redact whatever that is between Virgo's legs. But the actual picture of it, you can see on a website called Skyview, which is NASA's website, that if you know the coordinates of this, you can type it in, it will show you the actual whatever it is a eerie-looking red mass between Virgo's legs where Jupiter is coming out. If you could ever see. So I believe that the woman here represents Israel, because she gave birth to the church.
And we'll try to get those coordinates and put them in over the screen so can know where to look it up.
Good.
And the child represents?
The child represents the church. Jesus is already in the presence of God. I believe that Israel gives birth to the church. We are caught up, and it says the child rules the nation with a rod of iron. We rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years on the earth. And then as soon as we're out of here, because it's the same word for rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4.
We're protected from the lion.
That's right.
The red.
We got 30 seconds. Yeah.
Well, as soon as we're gone, the devil persecutes the woman, Israel, and she is chased for 42 months, and she's supernaturally protected by God. But again, this is Bible prophecy, and I just want to say, the Revelation 12 sign that hasn't happened for thousands of years, it happens in 10 days. I don't know how to interpret it, but I'm saying this is a time to know Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, I guess this is the time to know Jesus Christ. Especially when you're talking such foolishness like that. Oh, dear, help us. Help us, Lord. I think I have another caller that wants to make a comment. 708, do you have a comment?
Yes, thank you, Susan, for your show today. really enjoyed your show and how you keep us updated on what's going on around us. And there's many groups that are mixed up, you know, and they take different bits and pieces of the Bible and they add this, and some of them are adding the feasts, the festivities, and, you know, to me, it puts them more in a bondage. They're in a bondage,
yeah.
and they're angry, you know, because when they hear the truth, they get angry, you know. And
yeah.
they just make everything harder on themselves because it's a simple thing. It's not something where you have to be a rocket scientist. The Bible is plain and clear, and it's honest to you. If you open your heart and receive it, simple, done, end of period, you know.
Yeah.
But people want to be itching ears. They want all of this, the constellations. They want this.
Yeah.
They want to add in the Old Testament, the Shemitahs, the festivals, the Rosh Hashanahs.
Yeah.
And then they want to add the other stuff. And then they bring that to you. You know, you say, okay, we love Jesus. But then they want to present you with that. And when you don't accept that, then they're angry. And that's a bondage. That's a bondage that they're in. And many of them love the Lord, but they're mixed up because they got all this different stuff coming at them. They accept it, and they don't just read and understand the Bible for themselves. So I just want to thank your show for opening up these issues to us and being strong in the faith as you are. And we enjoy you so much. Thank you, Susan.
Aw, well, thank you. God bless you. I thank you for being a faithful listener, too. Thank you, my sister. Thank you very much. We try, and we pray for the young man or gentleman, really, that called in. He's searching, and we hope that he finds the truth, because all of us were lost at one time, and how awful it was, really, to be lost without Jesus. And we know, because many of us searched and searched and searched, getting into many different religions and New Age things, and we were searching for truth. But as we know, born again believers, as we know, that when we found the truth and it set us free, we didn't have to search anymore. Our searching was over. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew that I had found the truth. And I knew that Jesus Christ was the Savior. And I was born again. And I know that the born again experience is real because it happened to me, and nobody can take that away from me. I know that I went from darkness to light. And like the song Amazing Grace says, that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that's how it was for us. And that's how it is, like with the caller that called in, and he's blind. He's been blinded. So we were blind once. But God, who's rich in mercy, saved us. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we do, just like this man, Jimmy Evans, I don't know if he's saved. I don't really know. I haven't watched him. That much, but for him to come out with these kind of ridiculous statements and to associate the occult with the Lord Jesus Christ and to associate astrology with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look up. There's quite a bit of scripture, and I'll try to pull something up while I'm talking about stargazers and astrology. Well, we're not supposed to be delving into those kind of things. It's nice to look through a telescope or something like that and observe the stars and the constellations and those kind of things. But Jesus, like we talked about last week, he said, don't go looking for a sign, because there'll be so many people out there that are trying to point you in the wrong direction and try to get you distracted. And we have enough distractions in our life every day. All of us are going through things, I'm sure. We're all going through things, and we can become distracted, and we can take our eyes off the Lord, and we can get out of peace, and we don't want to do that. It's like a friend of mine said to me last night, that God can take what was meant for evil, and he can turn it into something that's good. So no matter what you're going through today, and it could look so bad, and you say, yikes, what's going on? But God will take that, and he will turn it into our good. And it's like the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, Susan, if you would praise me, the walls of Jericho would come tumbling down. So that might be for one of you today, that if you're going through something in your life, and it's hard to praise God sometimes when you're going through tribulations and you're going through trials and those type of things. But we can remember that when they worship the Lord, those walls came tumbling down. So we'll go there, you know, we'll go there and remember that if God was able to deliver us from hell, and he did, he delivered us from hell, he can surely save us from any kind of tribulation that we're going through in this life. And we're going to trust him to get us through. But let me see if I can pull up a few scriptures about astrologers and what the Bible has to say about it. But we certainly don't follow Leo and Virgo and... I thought it was odd too that Jimmy Evans said I'm a Libra or what? I don't care. I'm a born again child of God. That's what I care about. I don't care about being a Libra or a Virgo or what. What does that have to do with my life? But Daniel 1:20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And it's just like Daniel, right? The king was calling together all these magicians and astrologers, but Daniel was the one that had the wisdom. He had the wisdom because he knew God. He knew God. And the king... In the book of Daniel, he's calling together the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers. But it was Daniel. It was Daniel that was able to interpret the dream. Not the soothsayers. Not the astrologers. Not the stargazers. But it's the men and women of God who have the wisdom of God. And who have the mind of Christ, because the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Not all this other foolishness that people are trying to drag us into. And it's a distraction, but you have to take it for what it's worth. And I mentioned Perry Stone before, and one of the reasons I find him not credible is because he goes on television and he partakes of these begathons and these telethons. He puts himself out there and he pimps himself to get himself on television, and then he starts selling miracles and he starts selling out Jesus. So when people do that, they lose their credibility. They've sold out. They sold the Lord out for the 30 pieces of silver, because they want some fame and they want some fortune. And then they want to present themselves as some prophet or some prophecy teacher. Well, you lose credibility when you do that, because ministers of the gospel have to walk by faith. We have to be an example to other people of our lives, especially when it pertains to the Bible. So we can't be beggars. We can't be manipulators. We can't be con artists. if we're going to set an example for people, we have to do it by faith. We have to trust God to give us our daily bread and to meet our needs. So if someone's putting themselves out there as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they're telling you to send $50 to get God to do something for you, they're discredited. They have to be discredited. And I don't want to hear anything he has to say. The only reason I would listen to anything he has to say is to play it and to show you that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he even put out a video with his father, Perry Stone, and they claim that they were talking to some, his father was talking to some dead person, some friend of his that appeared to him that died. And we're not supposed to talk to the dead. It's just that simple. So why would I pay any attention to this kind of a Bible teacher? And that's where we have to go, especially in the day and the hour that we're in, because there's so much deception out there, and we can easily be drawn into these things, especially in a weak moment. And that's what these people, that's why the Bible calls them wolves, because they prey on you when you're weak, and that's when they attack you. So we have to remember to keep ourselves into the Word of God, and to stand up for what we believe in, to take a stand for Christ no matter what the cost may be. We don't know what the cost is going to be for many, many of us, what we're going to have to go through. It can't be any worse than what the apostles went through, that's for sure, because every single one of them died a martyr. Every one of them. And we don't know what's going to happen. We try to live day by day and do the best that we can to get through this life and tell people the truth about Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So anyway, that's our program for today. We hope that we're being a blessing. And I was having some trouble getting my chat room up. I don't know if it ever did get up today, because it doesn't seem to be coming up here. Anyway, if the chat room is up, I want to thank everybody for being in the chat room. My faithful listeners, thank you for listening. And all these years, how time flies when you're having fun, right? We started off in 2009 here on Blog Talk Radio. It's amazing to think that I've been on so many years. Time really does seem to be going faster than it ever did, but hopefully we'll be here for many more years. And we want to thank God for all our wonderful guests that have been with us and given us so much insight into God's word. We're so thankful for the brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, for the body of Christ, and for the fellowship that we have together. So I'm thankful for everyone that's listened over the years and been faithful. Thank you so very much. So we want to praise the Lord today. Amen. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to see the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And we take a bold stand for Jesus Christ. We love him. We praise him. We honor him for his many blessings to us, especially the gift of eternal life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you can know him. You can ask him to come into your life. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, because he said that though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. That God would forget your sins. He would remember them no more. There was a clip on before of a man that said that he went to heaven, and they pulled out a book, and they pulled out this book, and they showed him all the wrong things that he did. And I just don't believe that when you go to heaven, that God's going to sit there and start reminding you of sins that you committed when you were on earth. Because didn't he say that he would forget about it? There's no pain in heaven. There's no pain. There's no sorrow there. Jesus said that he would wipe away our tears. Oh, That's a wonderful thought. So anyway, God bless you today. Don't forget, make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Insurance minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.